So good morning, Rabbi Sai, and welcome back everybody who's been away. Baruch Hashem, everybody's back in good health.
Amen.
Okay, so this week, Parshas Kisavoy. This week, Parshas Kisavoy contains one of the two toichochos in the Torah. I presume the plural of toichocho is toichochois. Yeah, one of the two toichochos in the Torah. We have one in Parshas Bechukosai and one in Parshas Kisavoy. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a toichocho, a warning, in order to be a deterrent. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fancies punishing us, but he's giving us a warning and a deterrent in order that we shouldn't sin, that we should do teshuvah, and that we should keep the Torah mitzvahs as it ought to be. And he gives this to us. It says tochel shono v'killoi seho, that the year of klola should finish, tochel shono uvichoi seho, and the new year should start. So therefore, we have always the one in Bechukosai is just over a week. It'll always be there's always a buffer. There's always one Shabbos between the Toichocha and the Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, what Rosh Hashanah is Shavuos. Says the Gemara, Shavuos is Rosh Hashanah lo ilon. And therefore, it's also a Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, we have Parshas Bechukosai just over a week, a Shabbos before Parshas Bamidbar. Parshas Bamidbar is always the Shabbos before Shavuos.
Almost always.
Occasionally not so. Okay, I stand corrected. And then we have Parshas Kisavoy, which is always just over a week, let's say, the Shabbos before the night of Slichas, the Shabbos of the week before, which is this week in Miyaz Hashem. And then you have, we have a buffer week, which is Nitzavim, is it this year, Nitzavim Vayelech, I think?
Yeah, together.
Nitzavim Vayelech, the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says that when the Bnei Yisrael heard the Klolois, and they heard the longer one, which is this week's Vahoyokisavoy, that you've got the long Toichocho there, and they heard 98 Klolois, Hoiriku Paneim, their faces went green. Va'omru, and they said, Mi Yochoy Lamoid Ba'elu, who can possibly stand, who can possibly survive after all these terrible, terrible Klolois? Yeah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, said back to Klal Yisrael, Atem Nitzovim Hayom Kulchem. The answer is that the Rebbeinu Shalom is not there to punish you. The Rebbeinu Shalom is not there to destroy us. The Rebbeinu Shalom is there in order to give us a warning, in order to give us a deterrent. Miyaz Hashem, Meshech, this week we'll discuss the various halachos and minhagim that surround the kriya of the Toichocha, B'Shor Tov and Mitzlachas. Is there a poster here? Shine Torah Way, North London, North West London, Sunday. What's the English date? Is it the 21st? 23rd of August. And the Hebrew date is? Yud. Elul. And our speaker is Rabbi Eli Schnur, and his subject is Elul.
All right. Good morning. When I was a bacher, my first zman in Eretz Yisrael, I had the schus of hearing Rabbi Baruch Matzah Mizrachi speak. There was they made a rally for the voting at the time, and all the yeshivas sent out buses. And along the lines, Rabbi Baruch Matzah Mizrachi got up, and he mentioned how Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky was there. And he said, Elul, it's the middle of Elul, you know, what's he doing here? And obviously it's such an important time and so on and so forth. And for those who know, Rabbi Baruch Matzah Mizrachi shrieking at the top of his lungs, Elul, it pierces your heart. So the story goes, apparently this is a verified story, that he once, in a random Tuesday in the middle of the winter, his man walked into his Bes Medrash and banged on the table and said, Elul! So they went over to him and they said, we're mid-Teves, like, well, where does Elul come in? So he said, Elul is not a month, Elul is a concept. So let's try to gain a bit of an understanding in the concept called Elul. I would like to share with you an idea that I heard from one of my rabbonim in yeshiva by the name of Rav Nosson Rotman. So the Vilna Gaon in Yoina, it's well known that he has a derech remez, that he's mefarish the whole Sefer Yoina. And he says, right in the beginning, Right before that, in Zagdami, he says, "Inyan Anovi Romez al Nishmoisa Adam." The concept of Yonah, the whole story, is a allegory for the person's, for the neshama. I mean, people so commonly say that the Groh held that Yonah never existed. I haven't seen that written anywhere. It just says that what the story that we see here can also be interpreted as an example for the neshama. And he says Yonah is the neshama, like it says in the Zohar, "Koyonah poisa in lev." And then he says that Ben Amitai is a Ben LaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Amiti. And then he says that he goes to Nineveh. And Nineveh is Ir Gdoila, is the big city, and that represents the world, as opposed to the Ir Koktana, the small city, which represents the body. And he says that the whole purpose of mankind, of the Neshama, is to come to this world and to be Megalek V'Shemayim, to spread Hashem's name. And the neshama runs away, and there's a gilgul, and he explains how Tarshish and the Taivas. Later on, when Yonah actually goes to Nineveh, it says as follows: "Vayokam Yonah ve'elech el Nineveh k'dvar Hashem, ve'Nineveh hoyso ir gdoilo l'elokim mahalach shloishes yomim." And then it says, "Vayochel Yonah lovoi ba'ir mahalach yom echad ve'yikov ve'yomar oyd arboim yom Nineveh ne'apeches." Right? Nineveh was a very large city, l'elokim, whatever that means, and mahalach shloishes yomim. Walking distance of 3 days, and the Gros says as follows. He says, "Mahalach shloishes yomim sheikra shel adam nishalach lifnei alakim tomid." A person is supposed to walk before Hashem every single day of his life. K'mo shekosav b'kol hatzadikim. Aval Nineveh, and obviously, in going along with the Gros remez, the world, most of humanity, most of the world, lo yholchu lifnei alakim rak shloishes yomim. Nineveh only walked before Hashem 3 days a year. What 3 days a year? Rosh Chodesh Elul, Basra Vishaina, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Meaning by that the way of the world is to be connected to Hashem, to walk before Hashem these 3 days a year. I would assume the Goyim too, but I have a feeling he's talking about most of the Neshamas, most of Klal Yisrael. Now the obvious question is, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, okay, we understand that. Rosh Chodesh Elul, we're going to say that in one breath with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is a Dairaisa. Zichron Turo, Chazal say that, this is the day of Yom Adin. We say it in the Tefillah, "Mi loy nifkat ke Yom Azeh." There's a pasuk in Tehillim in Kufiutes, "Lemishpotecha omdu hayoim, ki hakol evdecha." And Chazal say we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. We have very, very strong evidence in the Torah itself that Rosh Hashanah is a serious day. And Yom Kippur, of course, we don't need to say, "Ki hayom az, ki bi yom azeh chabar aleichem, mikol mechatiseichem, lifnei Hashem titaru." We have, this is serious business. There's a kares if you eat on Yom Kippur, and we throw in Rosh Chodesh Elul. The only makar we really have in Chazal for that Rosh Chodesh Elul is different than any other day in the year is Pirkei Rabbi Lezer in Perek Mem Vov, where it says that on that day, on Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe went up to get the second luchos, and therefore they blew shofar in the Machaneh, and therefore says the Torah in Tufkuf Pei Aleph that we blow shofar during Elul. That's the extent of the mention of Rosh Chodesh Elul in Chazal. So how is it that the Groh mentions Rosh Chodesh Elul along with those two amazing days, Yomim Noiroim, as we call them. And more so, we see that the Groh doesn't seem to imply that Rosh Chodesh Elul in itself is a special day. It says Basra Rishayna, sort of, the whole of Elul is some sort of concept, which is indicated by, begins, it gets kicked off by Rosh Chodesh Elul. And then you have Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So what's the difference? Why is this a period? Why are those days? So in order to understand this, we need to look a little bit deeper into the idea of tshuva. And of course, we can't give up the opportunity to mention a juicy machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. So the Rambam, right at the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, his first halacha, he says, "Kol ha-mitzvos shebat Torah, bein asei, bein lois asei," or any mitzvah in the Torah, whether it's a asei or a lois asei, "im over ha-adam al-achas mehem," if a person is over on one of them, "bein bezodon, bein b'shgoga," whether he did it willingly, whether he did it knowingly, whether he didn't do it knowingly, when he does tshuva, and he repents from his avera, he has to do vidui. This seems to be very non-forceful. He's saying, when you do tshuva, you need to do vidui. He doesn't ever say that you have to do tshuva. He doesn't say, chayev lashuv b'tshuva. He says, kshayase tshuva, when he does tshuva, he needs to do it in the following way. And then he goes on to enumerate all of the steps of tshuva. Now, of course, the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban in Parshas Nitzavim, in Dvorim Lamed, Yiposikil Aleph, He very clearly says that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. And he bases this on the pasuk aleph and base of the same perek, where it says that v'hoyo ki yovoy alecha kol advarim o'ele, habrocha v'aklolo asher nasati lefnecha. Hashem describes all of the things that will happen to Klal Yisrael during their time in Golos. And there it says, v'shavta ad Hashem alekecha, you shall return to Hashem. V'shamata b'koyle k'chol asher anoichim etzav chayim. And the Ramban very clearly says it's a mitzvah, and it's also a remez that is a haftacha. I mean, by that Hashem is also promising that we actually will do tshuva. Whereas the Rambam, on the other hand, in Perek Zayin of Hilchas Tshuva, he says in Halacha Hey, "V'kvar hivticha Torah." The Torah promises us, "Shesayv Yisrael lasis tshuva b'sayv galuson." Klal Yisrael will eventually do tshuva, umiyad henigalin, and then they'll go into Geula. Why? Shenemar v'hoyak yava elecha kol advarim eile v'chulei. Therefore, the Rambam interprets this pasuk as being a promise. Hashem is promising us, no matter what happens, we will do tshuva at one point or another in history. As opposed to the Ramban, who interprets this as a mitzvah, as a chiyuv. So we seem to have here a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether tshuva is a mitzvah, is a chiyuv, or it's just something that is recommended. And even more so, we find in the beginning of Perek Zayin, it says, "Hoyl v'rishus kol adam nesuna loy k'mon shebi'arnu," because we are endowed with free will. And we have the choice to do whatever we want in this world. And of course, we are looking to get close to Hashem. Yishtadil odom lasis tshuva v'linar kapov michetor k'dei sheyomuz v'hu bal tshuva. He says a person should try to do tshuva in order that when he passes away, he should be a bal tshuva. Which again, it's a recommendation. Yishtadil odom lasis tshuva. If it so pleases, you know, please do some tshuva. So it's quite clear and quite, you know, explicit in the Rambam that the mitzvah of tshuva is a good thing. It's a positive idea, but it's not necessarily a mitzvah. And obviously the question poses itself, how can we say tshuva is such an integral core of Judaism? How can we say that it's a recommendation? It's a nice thing that has a... It must be a mitzvah. I mean, everyone takes that for granted. So let's go a little bit deeper. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Sorry?
It's a choice.
It's a choice, but we would assume it to be a mitzvah. We find so many different psukim. We have v'shavta ad Hashem lekech. But we find, for example, dir Hashem b'motzeh b'koros b'yosef korov v'yoshev al Hashem v'chamer v'al elkein k'yav al yisloach. You should return. We see so many times the Torah is imploring us to return. So it's interesting that it's not a mitzvah. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. So in Yeshaya, we find the pasuk. And the second half of the pasuk is quite well known for those who say Piyutim Matzah Shabbos. Masodumo. Eli Koyer Miseir. There's a Nevuah coming from Seir, from Edoim. Shomer Mal Milaylo, Shomer Ma Milayl. And he shouts out to the Shomer, to the protector, who obviously protected with a capital P, right? We're talking to Hashem. And he says, Ma Milaylo, Ma Milayl. When is this night going to be over? And Rashi explains immediately that we're talking about Golos Edoim, because Golos Edoim is called Laylo, is the darkest time of humanity. And the Navi is asking, when is the Gola coming? When are we going home? And then comes the famous pasuk, Omar Shomer Osal Boiker Vegam Lailo. And then the pasuk continues, Im Tivi Oin Booyu Shuvu Esoyu. Omar Shomer, right? The Shomer answers, Hashem answers, Osal Boiker Vegam Lailo. There is a title, read Rashi. Osal Boiker Yesh Lefone Lazriach Lasos Boiker Lochem. I have in my calendar set a time for you. For day to break, for daybreak for Klal Yisrael, v'gam lailo metukon le'esav le'es kates. I also have a nightfall in store for the goyim, for Edoim. In tivioin ba'oyu, if you will look for me properly, tivioin ba'oyu, like b'loshon iyun, right? To look properly, shuvu esav, esoyu. Sorry, return, in twice. Now there's a couple of questions. First of all, the question was, when is the galus ending? The answer to that question is, when you return to me, then Hashem should say, I have in store for you a daybreak and a nightfall for the nations of the world. Why is it that Hashem responds backwards? He says, I have in store for you a time for daybreak, I have a time in store for them for nightfall, and then if you return to me, it should be backwards. Secondly, why, the Navi Yeshaya, if you read through, he had a beautiful way of expressing himself in Lashon HaKodesh. Why is he using Aramaic? Omar Shomer Oso. Osa boiker, daybreak will come. It's an Aramaic. It doesn't say yovoy boiker, it says osa boiker. Im tivi oyun ba'oyu, that's also a lashon in Aramaic. Iyun is an Aramaic word. Shuvu, return, esoyu. The same word in Aramaic. Return once in Lashon Kodesh, once in Aramaic. Why is it that we're throwing around Aramaic words over here? What's going on? So, in the Vilna Gaon, in many different places, including in Mishli, Perek Beis Chof Aleph, on the Pasha, Ki Yushar Mishkenu Oretz B'Tmimi Mivasu Bo, says that there's two methods of serving Hashem, there's two concepts in Avodas Hashem. One of them is called the Yoshar, and one of them is called the Tomim. The Tomim is a person who serves Hashem out of a Tmimus, out of a certain simplicity. Hashem commanded, so I do, I don't ask questions, he tells me I do. And that's very important and it's beautiful. But there is a second level. There's a level that that must lead to, which is Yashrus. Yashrus is a person who serves Hashem out of his own will. He takes the initiative and he serves Hashem from a very deep and meaningful place from himself. And these are two ideas, what's called in the Sfarim, they call it Miletato Le'elo, Mile'elo Le'tato. Mile'elo Le'tato means from up downwards, which is the Tomim. Hashem commands and he does. Whereas the Yoshar is Miletato Le'elo, from the bottom to the top. Meaning by he himself takes the initiative and therefore serves Hashem and connects to the top. This concept of these two different methods of serving Hashem, these two different ideas of serving Hashem, is the difference between Sefer Shemois and Sefer Devarim. We're now reading the Parshas of Devarim. Shemois is the Chumash of Nasa V'Nishma. We listen, we do, we don't ask questions. The mitzvahs in Shemois are very straightforward. It's being commanded straight from Hashem through Moshe. No questions asked. Whereas Devarim, on the other hand, it's very emotional, it's very poetic. We talk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and we atarei Yisrael Adaski Hashem Elokeinu, and Ki Mi Goy Gadol, and we're busy. Moshe builds up before we get into the practical mitzvahs in the last two parshas, which we started now. Moshe builds up this whole intensity of what it means to be a Jew and how we're Hashem's nation and Mamlechas Kehanim and so on and so forth, and only then do we start doing the mitzvahs. So we see here the same idea. One of them is very commanding, Shemois. It's very, I told you, you do. That's the Tomim. On the other hand, Devarim is very, is emotional. A person should be connected, involved with it, and therefore it is the Sefer of Yashrus. Now, obviously the Gemara in Shabbos, Peches Amud Beis, says that Nasa V'Nishma is what the Pasuk refers to in Tumas Yisharim Tanchein. And Tumas Yisharim is Lashon Tmimus, and therefore we clearly see the Gemara refers to Chumash Shemois, which is the Chumash of Nasa V'Nishma, as the Chumash of Tmimus, of wholeness, of simplicity. We serve Hashem because He commanded us to. Whereas the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Chof Hei Omed Aleph, refers to Sefer Dvarim as Sefer HaYashar. So we find again, Yashar and Tamim.
You've got Tumas Yisharim.
Right, Tumas Yisharim, the Tmimus of the Yisharim. Like we said, we need both. We need both. But there's an element that starts out of Tmimus, and only then can we get into the Yashrus. Now, tshuva is an example of a mitzvah that can only be done from a position of Yashrus, not of Tmimus. You can't tell a person to do tshuva. You can't command a person to do tshuva. It's like a little child, you know, gets a candy from the candy man and then walks up to the candy man and the father says, say thank you, thank you. Right? We're not very impressed by that. It's a good chinuch, but it's not much more than that. It's not real gratefulness, right? You can't tell a person to say thank you. You can't tell a person to do tshuva, to say I'm sorry. Same idea, right? A little child hurts another child. Say I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We know he doesn't mean it. Again, chinuch maybe, but we definitely know he's not really sorry for what he's done. That's why the Rambam says, of course we need to do tshuva. That's not a question. But you can't call it a commandment. It needs to be something that comes from ourselves. We can't force a person to do tshuva. And therefore, throughout the Rambam's writings, we find that tshuva is referred to as an idea, as a recommendation. Even though, of course, the question with the Ramban, how does the Ramban deal with this? It's a good question, I don't know. But this is probably what the Rambam had in mind when he wrote his perspective on tshuva. So now let's go back to the Pasuk in Yeshaya, right? Chof Aleph. Hashem, the Navi comes to, he's starting to proclaim his nevuah, and he asks, when is the daybreak? When will the day come? And he says, Omar Shomer Osa Boiker Vegam Laila. Hashem says, from my perspective, from my part, Osa Boiker Vegam Laila, I have already in store for you daybreak and nightfall, it's all ready for you. You want to know when it's going to come? Im Tivoyin Tiboyu. If you return to me, if you look for me, Shuvo Esau, then come back to me. When you come back to me, then I'll be ready. Hashem says, from my perspective, I'm ready to take you out right now. But you need to take the initiative. You need to start. And this is also why we find Aramaic. Because Aramaic, Lashon HaKodesh is Hashem's language. It's the way Hashem communicates with us. It's very direct. Lashon HaKodesh expresses HaKodesh Baruch Hu's will. Whereas Aramaic is the way we interpret HaKodesh Baruch Hu's will. Which is why the Mishnah, which is basically just Torah Shebaal Peh, is in Lashon HaKodesh, whereas the Gemara, which is the human interpretation of Torah Shabbat Peh, is in Aramaic. So therefore, Hashem is saying, he's hinting to us in this Nevuah, through using Aramaic words, that, yes, Shuvu, you need to return, Lashon HaKodesh, but Esoyu, in Aramaic, I mean, by interpret it properly, you need to take the initiative, it needs to be personal. Elul is an idea of Hisarusa de Lasata. It's Hisarus from our perspective. We need to take the initiative. And that, therefore, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is very structured. There are halachas, there's a system, we have davening, we come to shul, we blow the shofar. There's a very, very clearly defined system of how we connect to the day of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Elul, there's no mitzvah, Raisa, there's no mitzvah, Debronin, there's nothing. It's on your own time, in your own personal way, connect to Hashem, return to Hashem. And that's what the warning of Elul is about. The warning of Elul is in order to wake us up before the day of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur come. I saw over the Shabbos, Reb Melech Biederman, he says how during the Iran war, the Israeli government gave two warnings for incoming missiles. One of them was a 15-minute warning to warn that a missile had been launched, which most of Israel had received. And then there was an actual siren when the missile was coming in. And he says basically how a person needs to take the first warning before the real warning comes. I wanted to add on to that it's also a question of interpretation, the warnings, because last week, Erev Shabbos, there was a warning given out here in England regarding wildfires. People should turn off their barbecues. And the sound that your phone made is the exact same sound as the sound in Israel. So it's a question to interpretation. In Eretz Israel, they interpret the siren as run for your life because a missile is coming and it's going to wipe out half a street. And in England, it means turn off your barbecue. So, of course, every person has to interpret the siren properly. So we can add that. So this is why, and this is also why we find that Elul in the Groh is not only Rosh Chodesh Elul, it's the whole month. In Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, again, Hashem gives you the instruction. You take advantage of it or you don't. If you miss Rosh Hashanah, if you miss Yom Kippur, too late. You lost it. You know, there's no take-backs. You can't try again. Whereas Elul, we have a whole month. It's on your own time because it's personal. It's coming from ourselves.
Isn't Yom Kippur mechaper women no matter what you do?
Yom Kippur mechaper if you do tshuva. It's exactly. So meaning by if you do tshuva, Yom Kippur is mechaper. But if you don't, meaning by if you don't do tshuva on Yom Kippur, if you don't follow the process of Yom Kippur, if a person eats on Yom Kippur and ignores Yom Kippur, then that's it. He's lost his opportunity for this year. Whereas Elul, if you didn't do it today, you could do it tomorrow. You could start right now. It's personal. It comes on your own initiative. You couldn't do tshuva all year round, but Elul is a specific time that is mesugel for doing tshuva. Now the Ma'aril says interestingly. He says in the beginning of Hilchos Yom Nara'im. He says Dorash Ma'aril. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya in Yirmiyah. Niru lochem nir va'al tizru lakoytzim. Plow yourselves a piece of land and do not sow into the thorns. And he says Al kein tzorich kol adam lahasir hashroshim haroyim v'roya ma'alelov min liboy. Therefore, a person needs to remove from himself all negativity, all the negative shiroshim, sources, roots, before Rosh Hashanah comes along, so that he should be prepared for Rosh Hashanah. And this, again, this is expressing this idea that we're saying. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a time that we sow. We plant the seeds for the rest of the year. What we do in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur has an effect on the whole year. But if our land is not fertile, if our land is not prepared for the seeds, to accept the seeds, then it's not going to do much good for us. And therefore, Elul is the time for us to plow the piece of land and prepare the piece of land in order for it to accept the seeds properly. Now, famously, Rabbi Sol Salanter used to say that in times past, you know, the world used to wake up in Elul and the whole world would be shaking and shuddering and people would be davening the whole day, and how in our generation we don't have that. Now, based on what we're saying here, it might be that we have more of an opportunity to use Elul to the fullest than past generations, because today's days there's no peer pressure, there's no social pressure to use Elul properly. I mean, we're in the middle of, right, we're the end of August, we're still in the middle of holiday. It's really up to you. It's up to us to take Elul to the fullest. No one's going to force us to do it. And therefore, if we do take Elul to the fullest, then we do use it properly, it's 100% ourselves. It's coming from ourselves. It's our own initiative. And therefore, we're using Elul in the purest form possible. I just wanted to end off with something regarding Slichas, how this fits in very nicely with Slichas. The Shulchan Aruch, right in the beginning. The first Shulchan Aruch, it's very famous. I think Kitzur Shulchan Aruch quotes the same thing. He says, a person should wake up like a lion, rise like a lion to serve Hashem. He should be the one to wake up the dawn. And this is based on Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says on the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Oiro Shachar. David HaMelech says, wake up, Kvaydi, my glory, wake up my violin and my harp, and Oiro Shachar, I will wake up during the morning. And the Guru Mishalmi says, Ano havina mo'er shachar, shachar lo yahava mo'er li. I wake up the dawn does not wake me up. What's this whole battle between waking up the dawn and the dawn waking us up? I have never seen anyone wake up early and the dawn saying, oh, whoop, I see I need to wake up, I'm a little bit late, and the dawn comes early. It's not a race. The dawn will come when it comes. And obviously this is allegorical. This is the idea is, and the Taz says this, interestingly enough, the Taz is a halachic sefer. He's not usually into like hashkafa or things like that. And second Taz in Shulchan Aruch already, he says something beautiful. He says, Mashakasa Rabbeinu HaTorah, Ni meir sashacha, ve'en hashachar meir oisi. The kosh sefer. He says, "V'nira demotzino adam hamkadesh atzmoi milamato mekachin oisim milamala." When a person purifies himself down here, Hashem helps him and sends him kedusha from lamala. V'chenu le'inin hisayrus sheyesh beis mina hisayrus shetchila misayrer milamato va'achakach bo'ol of hisayrus ha'elyon. There's two types of hisayrus, like we said before. A person can be the one to be misayrer himself, and therefore Hashem will give him the satad d'shmaya and will help him. Or we can wait for times that I have very clear instructions of what the Hisaris is, like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And he says, "Val zeh shibach David asatzmoy." David HaMelech is telling about himself that shehoye b'malak kokach shehisayrus sheloy milamata gdoy lekokach. His awakening is so strong she'ena tzorich l'siyah hisayrus shelamala. He doesn't even need Hashem's hisayrus, and that's why he says it in a double lashon. He says, "I will not wake up. The dawn doesn't wake me up. I wake up the dawn." Why double? Because he says, not only do I wake up the dawn, but I don't even need the dawn to wake me up. I'm so in touch with myself. I'm so full of energy and vigor and initiative that I don't even need the dawn to wake me up. As opposed to us, why the Shulchan Aruch only quotes half of that line. He says, "Sheyehu ma'ir hashachar," and full stop, is because, now, of course, we're not as big as David HaMelech, and of course we can always use that extra satad d'shmaya. So yes, I wake up the shachar, but I'm also happy if the shachar wakes me up too. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch only quotes half a verse. But the idea is, once again, the purpose of this time of year, and this is also why, of course, Slichas is early morning, is for us to wake up the Shachar, is for us to take the initiative, and for us to come forward and preemptively do tshuva and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we use this properly, and if we plow the field before the seeds are sown, Be'ezer Hashem, we will see amazing pears for the whole year. And Be'ezer Hashem, we should be zeicha to have a wonderful good Gemensh. Sorry? The whole Ebel, it's a good question. Maybe it was too difficult, I don't know. It's a good question. Yeah.